Well, I am praying and I'm hoping that our eyes are open, that our ears are listening, etc., etc. But you know, God has given us a blessing here this morning because we have each other, and we have each other to pray for. And we are together in a nucleus in the body of Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have something more than the world could ever ask for or think of. We have Him. And a blessing it is to be here this morning. We're going to be looking at the conflict over circumcision. Many of us have conflicts. Has the idea of somebody taking something and throwing it in the pathway of our life. It's like I've been taught many years ago, you go through the problem, not around it, because the problem won't go away. By God's grace, we can deal with this through faith. So in Acts chapter 15, I had Paul read the first few verses. Of course, we're going to go through all 35 verses. So hang on. We're ready to go. Okay? So, looking back, as we see here, we just finished up with the first missionary journey. It took altogether from Acts 13:4 through Acts 15:34. altogether, Paul and Barnabas, they spent 9 months out in this missionary journey. Some of us here this morning have journeys that we all can recollect, that we've all been through. And by God's grace, we've been through that. We've done that. And yet, we have other journeys in life to go through, too. They had traveled over 1,400 miles. They had visited 8 cities. You know, we have the car today. We have trains. We have buses. I talked to a man who from Poland the other day. And he remembered back in the early 90s after the communists fell that they would take trains and buses and bicycles. And I said, yeah, kind of reminds me when we're in the Czech Republic, you know. And so there are ways to get there in our life through our journey. So with Paul and Barnabas, they came back, as you remember. They went through persecution. They reached the Gentiles and they reached the Jews for Christ. And it was a time then at this, after the first missionary journey, they spent about 2 years in their home church and along that area in Samaria and Galilee and Judea. And they shared with the church what was going on. There was much rejoicing, just as we have missionaries coming home, or we as each one of us here this morning, we are called to be missionary, you know. Missionary is a sent one. We've all been called, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, to go into a whole world. Each one of us lives in our own world. Each one of us knows people that the other person doesn't. Each one of us here this morning has opportunities to share the gospel through the Holy Spirit. As one lady shared with me a few weeks ago, you know, as Jesus is like living water, there was a man that she was witnessing to, her and her husband. And they offered this man, this traveler, this salesman, a bottle of water. And I'm stealing that illustration from this lady. She doesn't even know it. But Christ refreshes us. Christ gives us an opportunity to, as we drink water, it goes down into our stomach. And, you know, water is like refreshes. It refreshes the body. It does. Water is very precious. And so Jesus gives us the river of life in our lives. So, Paul and Barnabas, they were telling the church what was going on. Now, look at this here. We've looked at the introduction here. Circumcision. We all know what circumcision is. After 8 days, a baby is cut down there. And because it's to keep it clean down there. And so, even as known with the Jewish female population, that cervical cancer is almost none there because of it's been kept clean. And so out of the whole population of the world, numbers are way down low for cervical cancer for women in that area. Well, that's an outward deal. Now, there's a group of people that come along, and after Paul and Barnabas, well, actually, they're rejoicing. They're saying, look what the Lord has done. They went into the enemy's territory, and they did great things. And guess what? The enemy was going to come back at them. Remember, if God is blessing you and you experience victory after victory, God sometimes allows trials and tribulations and the enemy to come knocking at your back door. God allows that to happen. Why? To grow in His grace and knowledge, to be stronger in the Lord and the power of His might, that we may not lean unto our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all ways. And so God gives us the power. We have that, being holy and separated unto Him for His cause and for His glory. Not that we have to wear anything fancy and pretend that we're Christians. No, God forbid that. But that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they see Jesus in us, and that's what it's all about. It's not about us. We have already been bought and paid for through the blood of Christ. We are not our own. We belong to Him. This life is very short. It comes and it goes. Like James said, it's like a vapor. Let me get back into this, what the Lord's laid on my heart here. Verses 1 through 3, we see a conflict going on. So remember, God allows things into our lives for a certain reason. And it's to strengthen the church. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, certain men which come down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now remember, what the Judaizers believed in is that you had to keep the law, one. Two, you had to be circumcised. And three, they did not believe in Jesus Christ. So, well, wait a minute. Didn't they believe in all three? But you know what Judaizers believed in is that you had to keep the whole law. You had to be circumcised. It was an outward manifestation. And then thirdly, then you can come to know Christ. You know, it's like here, many of us who got saved here this morning came from different churches. And it's saying here, like for me, I was an Episcopal. Well, I have to live all the things of the Episcopal life. And then I have to be circumcised. And then I can accept Christ as my Savior. This caused a big problem with the Gentiles and with the Jewish people. Because the Gentiles were saying, do I have to be Jewish in order to become a Christian? No. Paul and Barnabas were saying, no, you don't have to be that way. Unfortunately, there are some people out there. I've met them. I remember I was in Kansas, and I'll never forget, I was witnessing. The man said, I'm a Jewish Christian. I was like, okay, well, you got saved from, you know, your Jewish religion, huh? He's like, no, I had to, in order to become a Christian, I had to be Jewish first. And then I became a Christian. And I was like, okay, tell me more. I was all ears. I just kept my mouth shut. It was like, you know, bring it on. And then there's a church that I know of that they just hired a pastor that believes in keeping the Sabbath and everything else that goes along with it. And right here in Wisconsin. But I'm not going to name the church. I don't want to get in trouble. But wow, you're kidding me. You know, the thing is, Paul's saying, and Barnabas is saying, you can't keep the law. It's impossible for a person, for a Jewish person, to even keep the law. That's why they had to go make sacrifices in the temple once a year to appease God, because they could not keep the law. Nobody could. The Ten Commandments, James says, you break one, you break them all. He had 631 other commandments on top of that. You know, it was like a yoke, you know, put on you, a burden that a person didn't have to go through. We have churches today that are burdensome because it's a work salvation. And what did the Jewish people got in trouble with? And they were trying to lay this on top of the Gentiles, was that you have to have all these works to go with it. Thank God that we're saved through grace, through faith, and not of works. At least we end up boasting about our works. You know, Some people say you have to do this and that to have an extra spiritual revelation to get to heaven. No, you don't. It's through faith, through grace, and that's it. And I said the other day to somebody, I said, you know, just saying a prayer doesn't get you to heaven. They were like, oh my goodness, really? No, I said, at one point you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You asked Him into your heart. And I, as a pastor, I never went forward and prayed a prayer in front of an altar and asked Christ in my heart. I didn't even raise my hand, but I went to my pastor afterwards and said, I think I'm saved now. I really believe I'm saved. He looked at me and goes, did you pray that in your heart? Do you believe in by faith? And I said, yes, I do. So it's as simple as that. And as years have gone by, I've continued in the faith. You all have continued in the faith. And, you know, you say, well, what about baptism? Well, that's an outward manifestation. What's happening on the inside? So, and I didn't get baptized until 2 months later. Somebody told me here in the congregation, they didn't get baptized until 6 months later. Somebody else, they didn't get baptized until a year later because they weren't ready for that. So we're all, you know, realizing we're saved by grace through faith. Now, Paul and Barnabas are like here in verse 2. They're saying, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders for a question. They were very wise about this because they realized Paul and Barnabas, they said, you know, we need to go to the church council, which is in Jerusalem, where James was the Lord's half-brother, was the head pastor there. And they were wise because there was so much confrontation going on. The devil had sowed seeds of doubt and discontentment and bitterness and anger within the church because of this roadblock that the Judaizers were throwing in. You know, both there with Abraham in Genesis 17 and Deuteronomy 10 with Moses, talked about the circumcision, how it was important. Why? Because it was a demarcation for the Jewish people to keep separate from the ungodly nations, the pagan nations that were around them. That is why God had His law. That is why God did the circumcision, because it was very important. And in Galatians chapter 5, we don't have time, but if you have time to look at Galatians chapter 5, it gives the principles why we are not under the law, but we're under grace. In fact, Galatians deals with that whole area there, the province of Galatia. Remember, there were 8 cities that Paul and Barnabas went to on their first missionary journey. Galatians is written to deal with this whole issue about circumcision and about the law. Today we have the same problem. Say, well, how does this apply to today? Very simply, look at our churches. All the do's and the don'ts. Why do a lot of people never come to churches? Because I've heard this from younger people. I can do this, but I can't do that. Why? Because churches are talking about the law. Saying that's not talking about the law in the Bible. Yes, it is. But also, too, the do's and don'ts, because people don't realize if they're not saved, they don't have the Spirit of God in them, it's foolishness. Their minds are darkened. They don't understand, so they're turned off by that. Oh, I go to church and I sit there. Is that it? You know, listen to the Word of God. They had no inkling. A lot of young people have no idea because their parents have never taught them. The grandparents have never taught them. And I remember even with my family and going back many years ago, 1,400 years or so, there's not mentioned anything about anybody being a reverend or whatever, a pastor in my family going back 1,400 years. Nothing has ever been mentioned. And you all might have a family tree like that too. There's nothing. And all of a sudden your name pops up, my name pops up, that we're saved. And God knows what He's doing. But we have the problem here with the conflict going on. Verse 3 says, and being brought on their way by church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring conversions of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy amongst the brethren. And so there was a lot of rejoicing going on, but there was the conflict. Secondly, we see there was the conference in verses 4 and 5. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done unto them, but rose up again. It wasn't enough. Remember, when you're going through trials, God allows opposition in your life. It's going to come back around again, even though you think you put out the fire, so to speak. But there were certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They were always on the offense, you know, and yet now they had to be on the defense because of what was coming up. The devil is sly, he's sneaky, he's dirty. There's nothing good in him. Like Jesus said, there is no truth in him. He is the father of liars. Don't believe it, even if it's 99.9% right. It's still that 1% makes it a lie. And we see here, I love what happened at the meeting. Now they all went down to Jerusalem to talk about this. This is the big meeting. You have Peter, you had Barnabas and Paul, and you had James all stand up and give testimonies of what was going on about the grace of God. And we need to stand up and give a testimony about the grace of God, what he has done in our lives. And I know many of us here in church today, we have people who are religious. We know family members that are religious. Don't give up on them, but by the grace of God, try to reason with them. Never stop. One, pray for them. Two, share with the scripture. Three, always give an opportunity for the hope that lies within us. Because there one day that will happen, I will guarantee you will have an opportunity. It's happened in my family. It can happen in your family too. Whether they say, no, I don't want to hear it, or yes, you know what? That sounds different. What is that anyway? And then you see God just breaking away at that hardened heart. God's just chiseling away. He's breaking off the pieces. They're falling off. And there's that softness, that love, that warmth there. And God keeps on picking away at it, breaks it apart, chips it away. The dust flies off. And the sneezing's gone. And all the excuses that come with it. That hardened heart comes to know Christ. Don't ever give up. By the grace of God, so are we. Verses 6, back in Acts 15, and the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. And Peter's testimony is here, verses 7 through 11. He's saying, basically, why are you questioning God? Why are you doing it? A lot of people question God today for no reason, because they never read God's word. And so verse 7 says, and there had been much disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by the mouth should hear the word of God, the gospel, and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. But put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put on the yoke of the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So he's saying basically it's impossible to please God this way. We all should be God pleasers. In Romans chapter 2, verses 29 and 31 says, for he is not a Jew which is of one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, but is outward in the flesh. So all Jews understood about this. The Gentiles were not circumcised. They didn't understand this. We try to witness to people, tell them about religion. They're thinking, oh, I can get that anywhere I want to go. You know, it's just like a bar in every corner around here. You can go out and get alcohol wherever you want, you know. So churches shouldn't be that way, but they are today. But he is a Jew which is first inwardly in circumcision, that is of the heart and of the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not to men but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there that circumcision is? Paul's argument about that. He's saying, what's the point? You know, people can have a Bible at home. They can have crucifixes at home. They can have, you know, bumper stickers. They can do the whole nine yards. But God's saying, hey, I'm looking at the heart. You know, we want to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. People, God judges the heart. God loves us. But also, too, we judge ourselves first and through the love of Christ. And then we can start being effective for him. And then we see in verse 12, Barnabas and Paul's recollection. Then all the multitude kept silence. Now it was their turn. and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. It was praise time. It was testimony time. They stood up and they told about it, and the Judaizers were there. Sometimes we have to let our voices to be heard, because if we don't say anything, it's just like today in the elections. You know, unless we do something for this country, and I'm saying for the bedrock of our community, people who are called Christians need to do something. I think after this election, if we don't do something, we're almost gone as a country. We need to stand up and fight for our rights, or we'll lose them. And remember, Paul and Barnabas, they stood up for what was right. They said, Barnabas and Paul declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought amongst the Gentiles with them. They were praising the Lord. They weren't praising themselves. Oh, look at me. What I did. No, they were thanking God and glorifying God. That's our reason, the purpose that we have in life today is to glorify God in all that we say and do. Verses, we see down here in verse 13, starting out with James. James gets up. Now it's his turn. He can't wait to praise the Lord. And he says, after he held their peace, James answers and saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And Simon had declared how, that's the word Simon, that's Paul, had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take them out with, take him for his name. And to the agree, the words of the prophets, as is written. Remember, as it was, remember back in earlier in Acts chapter 13, Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. And he was called to go there. Remember, God is also called to go to the prophets, called to the Jews, but now it's going to the Gentiles, you and I, okay? And after this, and now James quotes, he says, don't you remember the Old Testament, the prophets at all? He's quoting out of Amos now, Amos 9:11-12. But after this I will return, I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. Talk about the temple of God there. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. And that's, of course, during the millennial reign he's referring to. Remember, the Jews were always looking for a Messiah to come. These that, you know, James is referring to, he says, don't you remember what Amos had to say? Verse 17, and the residue of the men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom the name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So you have the residue, you have the people there that will call upon the name of the Lord. He's saying if you check the prophecy, it's there. All you have to do is read it, study it. It's there. Believe in God, trust God. But did they? Some were very upset because of these Judaizers. When the devil comes in the midst, you want God to answer your prayers. Please, by the grace of God, pray. Continue to believe in him regardless of what happens. And the opposition. Verse 18 now. It says, know unto God are all his works in the beginning of the world, wherein my sentence is, James continues to say, we are troubled not them which from amongst the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write upon them that are abstained from the pollutants of idols. In other words, Jews knew this, and he's speaking to the Judaizers saying, you know what it's like, you need to stay away from idols, because that was the Jews' biggest problem. They became so self-centered, they thought themselves as dictating about God. And then also, too, that they came assessed that since that didn't work, that they started turning to idols and got themselves in trouble. Jeremiah speaks of that in the Old Testament. They go back to the same thing. History repeats itself. They go back to the same sins, and they forget about God, and they turn to false gods. And we've done that in churches today. We've gone after false gods of the world. We brought the world in. A lot of churches are worldly today. There's no power of God anywhere. Thank God for this church. We have a lot of praying, fighting saints. We might be small in number, but we are powerful in the spirit. And it says, to abstain from idols and from fornication. Of course, that went with the false idols and their worship, the disgusting things that they did And from strangled and from blood. It has the idea from dietary laws. There were many, many dietary laws. Why? Originally, Moses had that so they could keep themselves healthy and pure before God. and also not to fall into transgression with the pagan societies outside Israel. Like, God wants to keep his church pure. He wants us to keep away from those things of the world. And so we see in verse 21, Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in synagogues every Sabbath day. In other words, the argument has stopped. Peter, you also had Paul and Barnabas, and then you had James. The crux of the argument is either you're for the law and you're a Jew, or if you're a Gentile, you want to go with the law, you want to go backwards. I don't know about anybody here, but I tell you what, I think we all agree on this. We want to go forward with our lives, amen? We want to march on. We want to march on because regardless of what we suffer and what we lose in life, we press on because we know one day we will achieve that goal in Jesus Christ, our hope of glory with him. And so it's either you're on the law, their argument is either for us or against us. You're either for the law or you're for grace. And thank God we're for grace today. Somebody had mentioned the other day, Dick and I were out there, the first thing this lady came out with when we were witnessing to this group of Iranians, she says, "Are you Jehovah's Witness?" I'm like, "Oh, the devil is so sly. He's just the nastiest thing on this earth." I said, "He tries to get in. He tries to subvert." You remember the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in the same Bible, number one. Number two, it's like this. They believe you have to work your way to heaven. Don't work your way to heaven. And somebody says, "Faith without works is dead." Yes, remember, the works come afterwards. Faith comes first. And without our faith, without our works, our faith is dead. It's no good. And it has the idea of a dead body. I hate to say that in the original. It has the idea of a motionless person's not there. They're already in heaven, thank God, I hope. But you know what? We have a faith that works. And not the other way around. So with the Mosaic law, they couldn't get the religious, the moral, the physical, and the purity aspect. And they had a big question about that. It caused a lot of deceitfulness. And yet you had the apostles come to the rescue and declare the truth. There's nothing better than the truth, and it sets you free. And my hope and prayer was back in those days, as we have today, people will be set free from the works that there are out there today. Many churches preach works in a very subtle way. When they get away from the authority of the Word of God, it means nothing. And that's why you have the younger generation coming up and saying, "What's this all about? Do's and don'ts." Then we see because of this, they were smart. Well, number one, how did they deal with the conflict with circumcision? They got together. You know, when there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. It says that in Proverbs. You get a group of people together and they come up with ideas and all. What comes better under the Spirit of God? That's a good thing. That's why you have elders and you have deacons. You have the church, the body of Christ, because they give people wisdom and it keeps things churning in your mind. And it's a pleasing aroma to God. So second of all, they decided to send letters out to these eight cities where Paul and Barnabas came from. And yet, yeah, it was maybe about 1,400 miles. And, you know, if you had to walk there or sail there, ride a horse or whatever. But you know what? It got there. They had a good post office back in those days. Very thankful for the post office we have today. We can get our mail. Communication's important. And again, the devil likes to disrupt communication where he can. Get the story wrong. About a third or fourth time down the road, the next person gets about half the story wrong. You know, we have to go back to the Word of God and get it right. Verse 22 says, "And then please the apostles and the elders and the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch and Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men amongst the brethren." By the way, Silas and Paul, they went on the second missionary journey in the next chapter. And then you had Mark and you had Barnabas. I'm sorry. Yeah, you had Saul. Silas went with Paul, and you had Barnabas. He went with John Mark, and that's what happened there. But then you had Silas, the chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, and the apostles and the elders, and the brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, forasmuch as it have been heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised to keep the law, to whom he gave no such commandment. Has the idea of here of subverting your souls, has the idea of throwing up a roadblock. You know, we have things that come into our lives today that block us, to hinder us, to make us stop. We have to be careful that it's either of God or it's from the enemy. And this was from the enemy. Remember, they had a great victory. And I think the Spirit of God is trying to say this morning, is that when these roadblocks happen, keep the joy of the Lord as our strength. Don't let the devil come across and take away, quench and put out the fire of the Holy Spirit that's in us, the fruit of the Spirit. And we see in verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men, you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have been hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the way this letter was written. It was wonderful. You get sweet letters like that. I like that. We have sent therefore Judas, Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats and offer to idols, and from blood, from the strangle, and from the fornication which kept yourselves. You shall do well, and that you fare well. So in other words, it was just a repeat that was said earlier here. That was in the letter. That went on with the council. Church councils are good. There are seven major councils that happened in the years past with the early church. And they were good things to have, okay? Because it kept communication strong. It kept the Word of God in check. It keeps people, the church, in check. Verse 30 through 35, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered a multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced in consolation. And Judas and Silas, the prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren to the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God of the Lord, and many also. So they were there for a couple years. After the first missionary journey, 9 months, they were gone, traveling 1,400 miles, 8 cities. Now they were there ministering. It wasn't until the second missionary journey that came up later on, we'll see that God's Spirit moved again. When God's Spirit moves in our lives, sometimes He'll put us in places and circumstances we have never imagined. And God can answer prayer in those ways. And God can bring people in our lives to give us much joy, much strength. And so, because of that, it was very important. And so we see that, you know, later on, we are going to have to realize in our lives that God brings things in order in His church. It's so important to have order in church. It's so important to have checks and balances. It's important that we take God seriously and that He can bless us. I'm going to leave with this one portion of Scripture found in Ephesians 2:11-16. And I like how it's summed up here in these 6 verses. It says, Wherefore remember that ye are being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision. By that which is called the circumcision is the flesh made by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. This is speaking here to Gentile believers here. And but now in Christ Jesus, yet sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood. God draws us close through the blood. But he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So thank God that this whole idea of the works and by the law has been broken down. You needed to have the law, and you need to have those things happen in the past so Christ could come that could fulfill that. You had to have that. And that is important. That's why we have the Old Testament. That is why we have the New Testament. But the argument here is that coming to Christ, Christ fulfills the law. He takes care of that. And let me say that one last thing before I close. As we witness in our communities today, there are a lot of people that are filled with works like salvation. They won't tell you that, but where they've been brought up in their churches, where they've been. And you've got to start with their church, where they're at. And you got to pray in the Spirit and knowing when the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to witness. Because talking about somebody's religion is a very sensitive topic. And we have to be very gentle, very humble how we approach people. And saying, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus approach it? And guard our mouth, guard our lips, that we may give grace to the hearers in this time, in this wicked world. It's easy to work your way to heaven. Anybody can do that. But then, by grace through faith, a lot of people think that that's ridiculous. They think that, you know, that's impossible. That's almost blasphemous to say about God. How can you do that? God can save that person. God can break the heart. Remember, he can just knock it apart, crack it up. Those pieces start falling, then big chunks fall. And that softness and that warmth comes out. And that person that's been hiding behind that rock will finally come through and realize that, you know what, I need this. And so much by the grace of God, so are we today. We needed him because we were very hard in our minds and in our hearts. We're very hard because of this world, the flesh, and our enemy. So pray today, this week, as we sojourn in our lives, as we are pilgrims in progress, that we will continue to give grace to the hearers through faith in Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be still and know that you're God. We thank you for the grace that you've given us and that you saved us from the awfulness of a worked salvation. Lord, we thank you, God, that you came into our lives, that you changed us. We had heard it. We accepted it. We went on by faith. We asked you into our lives. And through the years, you eliminated us, Lord. Your Spirit dwells within us. We thank you, God, for the teaching from the Word of God. We thank you that we can take it apart and make sense of it, and that your Spirit can guide us in all truth and understanding. Lord, we just pray that we'll continue to live holy lives in your Bible, Lord, to others. And Lord, we thank you for your precious word and your Spirit. One day we'll be present before the word, and that's you, Jesus, and that we'll be holy, we'll be completely without sin, because you were made sinless for us. And thank you, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that glorious time where everything will change. And Lord, you'll wipe away all tears, all worry, all anguish, everything that stops us, Lord. That we are more than conquerors through Him, through You, Christ Jesus. God, help us this week as we bear our cross, Lord, as we look to You. Help us, Lord, to pick up our crosses when we fall down. Help us to carry our crosses. We need this very much in these times. In Jesus' name we pray through His blood. Amen.